Well, those are two key areas where there were changes from June. Looking at the contributions, special education, there was an increase from June of a couple million dollars because, again, we're seeing additional increases. And, again, this is not something that Sweetwater is immune to. All other districts throughout the state, local districts, and even throughout the country, we're seeing increased services required. Needs are increasing for our students. And so that amount is going to be increasing over time. We're working very closely with our team to see if there's some areas of opportunity, but those are the contributions there. Same thing with our career technical education and then our routine restricted maintenance fund. And as you see there, and I'll show in a separate slide, what were the required solutions for current year and then what we're projecting for the out years. Now, reserves, aside from an operating standpoint, these are also dictated by code. Based on our expenditures, the calculations is about $9.4 million for 2% economic uncertainties. And that number is, again, determined by the number of students that we have. We're over the 30,000 threshold, so we're 2%. Other districts are at 3%. And then we have other items that we factor in: revolving cash, inventory, school site donations. Those are set asides. So this is one area that we worked very closely. Again, our priority was to get a balanced budget that we could submit to the county. But it was actually Wednesday this past week. Superintendent and I, we called the CDE late, about 9 o'clock at night one night, and we said, you know, we've managed with all of our collective efforts to put together a balanced operating budget for 18-19, but where we're at right now, is it fair and reasonable to say, can we work on our reserves and have that factored into our out-year projection as we do our budget development for 19-20 and the subsequent year? And that's what we did. We did receive some feedback from them, and subsequent they've had conversations with the county office and with FICMAT. So again, we wanted to ensure that we had our balanced budget, and then we would continue our work in our out years for that, to restore those reserves. So with that information, this slide here just kind of notes, you know, where we were at our starting point operating at 3.5, and that's just, again, the operating budget. This kind of just shows the changes from revenues and expenditures from where we were at in June to where we're at today. Keep in mind that we did a lot of analysis looking at positions, costs, actuals, you know, seeing how things were. So we added a few things, while at the same time, with those things that were added, we had to make those adjustments with budget solutions. So when you take that information, this slide just highlights all of our revenues, again, very, very high level. Where it indicates we have an ending balance, so on column B8, we have about $365,000 surplus operating budget. So it's in essence a break even. And as you can see, there's about $10 million of required reserves. But then when we look into the subsequent year, when you see column C5, we're going to need about 10.4. And again, this is based on current assumptions we know of today. It could change come January, could change come May of next year or June. But based on the current information we have, and to ensure that we restore those required reserves, we'll need some budget solutions to be identified soon after with first interim of about $10 million, and then the next year of about $5 million, and assuming these are ongoing one-time solutions. And again, these next two slides are just to kind of depict how much is where our funding source is from. So this just indicates, you know, majority of our funding is from LCFF, as I shared earlier, with very minimal from federal and other state. Our expenditures, you know, between certificated, classified, and benefits. Again, we're a service provider. We have our staff providing student services. So that's going to be our significant outgo. And one thing to note, unlike a traditional business, school districts live off of a fixed income. We can't pass on costs to our customers, our students, like you would with a traditional business. So it's just something to keep in mind as costs increase. We're on a fixed income, which can change throughout the year based on those variables that I mentioned earlier. So this next section are the specific budget solutions. What I want to highlight here is, as part of the work that we did, again, collectively, is looking at different areas, not only of new funding that we were not aware of back in June, that we were made aware over the summer, but also to looking at different categories of funds that are outside of the general fund. And that's where the complexity of school finance sometimes comes into play. There are different, as I say, buckets of money that have different restrictions or different uses. So as an example, Title I is very much tailored to free and reduced lunch for eligible students, poverty, students of poverty, tailored to that, so we can help support those students. Title II is primarily around professional development. So again, this will all tie to some of these areas where we had some solutions. Title III is tailored to our English learners. And then Title IV is a little bit more broad. It kind of looks at the whole student. It has different components with IT, you know, different factors that we can include a little bit more broadly. So we looked at areas like that that we could look at our LCFF supplemental, because 0900 is that resource for LCFF supplemental, and see where we can do some alignments. So as you see in that area, looking at the college and career counselor as an example, and the subsequent line items, many of those were transferred over to Title IV. So as you see, Title IV as an example, we had $667,000 of an apportionment that we were not aware of during June. It was not shared at that point in time, so it was something that we became aware of. So we worked closely with our instructional team. How could we use those dollars, given some of these other considerations? Same thing with the Department of Defense. That's part of a five-year grant that was awarded over the summer. And how can we use about $200,000 each year to repurpose some of those dollars? Same thing with that low and performing student block grant that I mentioned earlier, that was included. So we had about a little over $3 million of new funding sources that we could review and identify other areas to use those dollars. So these next items, I mean, some of them were either reclassed to Title IV, which is permitted. And one other thing I want to mention too is Title I, such as the AVID and summer school, we had about $2 million through our unaudited actuals process, $2 million of carryover of Title I. Given that magnitude of an amount, we have to spend it in this current 18-19 year, because not only that, we had to submit a waiver to the state because we were over that 15%. And that waiver can only be granted every 3 years. So it's imperative that we spend those dollars. So this gave us an opportunity, knowing where our unaudited actuals ended, to reevaluate and see if these were items that we could reallocate. And that's what we did with summer school as an example. Other items listed on here, such as the CIS, that's an area that we're reducing. We're working with schools, and that'll be something second semester that we will be reducing by $629,000. Another area, going back to what Dr. Janney mentioned earlier, we've had a lot of collaborative conversations with our labor partners, and it does note on there, pending negotiations. There are 2 days of PD, primarily for teachers, some counselors, and a few eligible staff members, that and that's some dialogue that we're going to be having with our labor partners. So that's noted there. Same thing with a few other, like the central PD, that's going to be eliminated. So again, those are just areas of where we either reduced, eliminated, or reclassed to another eligible funding source. Same thing with induction. There's $670,000. That's our resource 4035, as noted on there. That funding source also had a carryover in 18-19. So that also gave us an opportunity to relook at some areas there that we have with SLT and subs. Rather than the general fund, could we use some of those dollars to transfer over to the funding source? And also, the last item on here with Fund 40, we had salaries and benefits, and working with our facilities planning team, that we have opportunity to move over to Fund 40 in lieu of the general fund. So we had that noted as well for a little over $300,000. The next section relates to staffing. We have noted on there that management and confidential would have reduced work year or furloughs, and that would be dependent on their, there's a tiered approach to that. So there's those amounts noted there. Substitutes and extra duty, hourly and overtime, as I shared with the board when we presented the unaudited actuals, that was an area that had been with quite a bit of overspend. So that's an area that we made some adjustments to the budget, but we see some opportunities in putting some controls in place and overseeing that and monitoring that with the schools and departments so we can control that. As well as some vacancies, new positions. What we're sharing right now is just for a matter of freezing those positions. But we can work with next steps with our labor partners and with others to manage those accordingly going forward. And again, reduction in contributions and transfers. I touched upon that earlier with adult ed and cafeteria. We've also been working very closely with special ed. There's some vacancies there as well. We're looking about $2.8 million there. We've got books and supplies, some other one-time costs there we've accounted for, as well as some contracted services. We've already shared with our school principals about travel, food purchases, any of those type of things that those dollars and budgets have been reclassed. And then the other item that I'd like to share, so aside from the budget solutions, one area that in terms of fiscal solvency that a lot of parties look to, not only do we have a plan to solve, which we just presented in the prior slides, is the cash flow. Are we going to make our obligations to our employees, to our payroll, with payroll, and also our vendors? One thing that I want to show, it's included in your packet as well, as we provided some cash flow analysis. And one thing that's very unique, our district does not go out for a tax revenue anticipation note. And that's because we have access to our Fund 49, which is our CFD, and that's all in accordance with education code. The board takes action every June in funds that they can access for cash flow purposes. The education code is very specific on the repayment plan of those funds, especially if you borrow it within the last 120 days of the fiscal year, you have the subsequent year to pay for that. And that's what you can kind of, you see here in the months of October, November, December. They're a little bit lower because we're repaying some of that from the prior year, and also the beginning of the year, because usually July and August, the cash flows tend to be a little bit decreased from the state because our apportionments are lower. But again, that's permitted per education code, and it's a much more cost-effective way, because right now a trans in the market is about 3%, where we pay, the district pays with that particular fund about 1.86. It's the going rate of the county pool. So it's much lower than going out for a trans. So there's some benefits, there's pros and cons to it, but right now it does help us manage our cash flow and our repayment, and our schedule does indicate that we'll be able to pay for that.